Listen anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis' sports station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis' biggest sports columnist.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. I ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I ain't getting no interviews. I know. I'm good. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up because you know where there's rubble and dust. Cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
Happy birthday. And I say that because I'm looking at the NBA standings right now, Jeffrey. And in the West, I see the Grizzlies tied for fourth place in the West. They're behind the...
As predicted on this show.
They're behind the Warriors. They're behind the Nuggets. Yeah, everyone else was skeptical. We've been very bullish on this team all along. Behind the Trailblazers. And then, now mind you, It is quite the tie for fourth in the West. It is the Spurs at 6-4, the Grizzlies at 6-4, the Clippers at 6-4, and the Thunder at 6-4.
Jeff, we don't tell the whole story; we tell our story.
We right, exactly, and that that gets you to the top seven, and then you've got the Kings at 6-5 and 8, but the Grizzlies are in their playoffs and they're in fourth place. So, good for them. We are going to go over the highlights. God, I love that part of the show when we get to go over Grizzlies highlights and revel in victories. And we will do that momentarily. Also on the show today, Steve White's going to join us. Always a highlight. We'll ask him what he thinks about Dez. I think basically people like Dez. They like Dez to the Saints because they think the Saints locker room can handle it. Did you see the little video out there of Drew Brees throwing footballs to his kids?
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
These little kids are, are they all his kids? It's just random kids.
So he has three boys and a daughter.
Okay, so he's firing footballs in the living room, like a Nerf ball or something.
These
kids coming around. He's spreading the ball around.
Well, yes.
And that's what he can do.
Well, if Drew Brees is your dad, what's the first lesson he's going to make sure that they understand?
What?
You gotta make sure everyone gets involved early.
Yeah, exactly right. So
then you get a Michael Thomas.
Everyone gets involved early. Anyway, Dez, we'll talk to Steve about Dez and about the NFL, about all kinds of things. Chris Harrington's going to join us at 10 to talk Grizzlies and the NBA. Am I missing anything? No, I'm not. I did want to start by saying there was another shooting last night. 12 dead, I believe, at this point, 25 injured at a bar, and you actually have been to that bar?
Yes, it's borderline in Thousand Oaks. And
how far is, you went to Pepperdine, how far is Thousand Oaks from Pepperdine?
It's probably 30 minutes, but so, for instance, not everyone can afford to live in Malibu.
Right.
I know you find that hard to believe.
Malibu is where Pepperdine is.
Yes, Pepperdine is actually in Malibu, so...
Where's Malibu relative to L.A.?
It's north.
Okay.
So, but it's like if you go straight up the coast. So if you're heading north from L.A., it is Santa Monica, Pacific Palisades, then Malibu.
Okay.
And Malibu is on the coast. So because living in Malibu is extremely expensive, a lot of us went what's called through the canyon, and we went into a place called Calabasas or Agora Hills, and that's very suburbia-ish. And so Thousand Oaks is one of the next towns right up north of it. up the 101. So
when they say they cater to this bar caters to college students.
Yes.
College night last night.
Yes.
And they said several colleges in the area.
Yeah.
And I happen to know that there were evidently Pepperdine's
students. Pepperdine's going to be one of those.
What are the others? Who else is around?
Then you also have a couple of the there's a couple of California State that they would probably have catered to as well.
Well, I mean, it's devastating, and of course, it's where we are. And if every week, I think it's the first mass shooting in 11 days is what they said. If every 11 days we had an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease somewhere that killed X number of people, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't we do something?
You would think.
Whatever the something is, I'm not jamming my particular agenda down anyone's throat here. But if literally every 2 weeks we had an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease somewhere where 10 people or 20 people or 6 people died, we would be holy.
Now, your best example was the car example that you gave back in the 70s when car wrecks fatalities were at just these astronomical rates. They conducted a study, and then they said, "Okay, well, let's try to fix the problem."
Right? We would not just shrug, but there we are. We just shrug, and so more people grieving the loss of their children. It sounds like if it's a lot of college kids here, someone's children. Anyway, so thinking of them, of course. On to the Grizzlies. To more frivolity, the Grizzlies. As you tweeted last night, they're back, baby.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
They're in a week in which they blew a double-digit lead to the Suns. They then beat the 10-1 Denver Nuggets.
Right. Yeah. They are the Grizzlies we know and
those
love.
Those are my Grizzlies.
Are back. And we got highlights. And so listen, the Utah wins on the road, those are impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But Utah ain't been Utah. And they weren't there when they were. Also, Donovan Mitchell wasn't there, right? So,
yes.
I mean, Utah's right now 5-6. These were the nine at the time. They were the 9-1 Nuggets that had won 5 straight, including an impressive win over Boston, and the Grizzlies win by scoring under 90 points. The Grizzlies had lost 20 straight. They score under 90 points. And they win by scoring under 90 points, 89-87, against a Denver team that had been averaging 112 points a game for the season. So let's let this baby roll. All right, you whiners, you want Marc Gasol involved early? We got Marc Gasol involved early.
Gasol to the lane. Lobs to the rim for Jaren Jackson Jr., and he thunders home a two-handed alley-oop jam. Oh, that was a beautiful pass from Gasol, and the Grizzlies take a quick 4-0
Gasol
lead.
To Jackson right away. Right away.
I love when Hank sees a good inside play. When he sees a big man make a really skilled play,
makes him happy.
Yes.
Makes him happy. Jaren struggled a little from three. You know, he's not been but he hit a couple last night.
Jackson Jr. on the right wing. Step back three is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board as Jaren got wide open, and he answers the three.
And then Dylan Brooks with a strong finish.
Conley in the front court working on Torrey Craig. Drives the baseline through the lane. Kicks it out right wing for Seldon. Seldon jumps it for Jackson. Jackson drives it in at Lyles, and he threw a pass away. Deflected by Rabb. Grabbed by Seldon. Seldon over to the right side. Dylan Brooks going to the rim. He powers it up and in. A broken play leads to a bucket for the Grizzlies and a much-needed hoop. It cuts the Nuggets lead to 18-14.
The funny thing about this, and it was kind of commented upon by our friend Dan Devine, is that this is a whole new group of Grizzlies,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's Shelvin Mack, and it's Dylan Brooks, and it's Marshawn Brooks, and it's Garrett Temple, and it's Kyle.
It's a kid that just voted for the first time.
Like, they're the same. Like, they're the same. They're not the same. They're not.
No, I know what you're saying.
They're not Tony and.
I understand.
But they're
what
the
saying.
Same. Win big games, lose.
Yes.
I mean, beat tough teams.
Yes.
Lose to easy teams.
Yes.
as
anything's possible.
As big as JB was saying, strangle you with defense, and yet it's the complimentary cast has changed completely, and yet they just step in and they do what Grizzlies do. Part of the new complimentary cast is Marshawn Brooks.
24-18, Nuggets by 6. Shelvin Mack right sideline, drives it in at Plumlee, shovels for a cutting Marshawn Brooks. Brooks to the lane, lays it up and in. Beautiful drive and kick by Shelvin Mack.
And Wayne Seldon.
Gasol to the left wing for Brooks, working it in on Beasley. Dillon gets in the lane, kicks it out for Mack into the right corner. Seldon, he'll hoist a three, ring it up. Put three on the board for Wayne Seldon. Nice catch and shoot in the corner for Seldon. And that cuts the lead to 5-33-28.
And Marshawn Brooks.
Grizzlies in the front court, down 7. Mack to the right wing for Marshawn Brooks. He'll hoist a right wing three, ring it up. Put three on the board. Boy, he had the space. He looked at it and just said, all right, I'm going to take it.
Yep.
And shot it with confidence, and Marshawn Brooks was 7 off the bench. 16 bench points for the Grizz thus far.
It's like, again, it's this whole new cast. One of them is so Garrett Temple did not have the best offensive game last night of his career. He had 5 points. He was 1 of 4 from the floor, and we're about to hear the one, I believe. But he was plus 10, and he was tremendous, absolutely tremendous defensively. You had Murray and Harris, who are their two big gunners. They combined for 35 points, but they did it in the process shooting 32% from the field. And so, like, Garrett Temple fits in perfectly. He's a perfect Grizz. And here's his one bucket. One bucket? Yes, one indeed. Bucket of the night.
Jokic drives it in at Gasol. He pokes it free, loose on the floor. Conley gets it. Up ahead, Temple. Grizzlies tie it up with a right-handed jam off a steal in the front court. And Garrett Temple gets the bucket. 4:18 remaining in the half. And we're all knotted up at 39. Michael Malone wants a timeout.
The guy who really changed the tempo was Jaren Jackson Jr. with his energy. He is fun to watch. Here's a couple back-to-back.
Murray trying to jump it inside for Plumlee, throws it away, stolen by Jackson. Then Conley got hit, nothing called. Ball comes loose, comes to Jackson. Length of the floor drive, going to the rim. Lays it up and in with a left hand. Jaren Jackson picked up the loose basketball and took matters into his own hands and finished it off.
Beautiful job. No Euro step, nothing. He just crossed over, took it to his left hand and all the way to the rim.
Conley onto the left block, Gasol against Plumlee. Gasol spins baseline, back into the lane, little pump fake is no good. Follow jam by Jaren Jackson in traffic. Gasol's turnaround right-handed hook rattled out, and Jackson thunders it home. He's got 12 in the first half.
Big fella, no one's going to box you out. Go find an opening and get it. Nice job.
There I am with Hank enjoying the big man again. Jaren Jackson Jr. ended up with 20 points, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. The man who he was guarding, Millsaps, 1 of 7, 2 points, and 3 rebounds. That's good. He continued his good work in the second half.
10:23 remaining. Gasol gets a nice bounce pass from Conley. 10 on the shot clock. Now steps through 2 defenders. Floats it up with the right hand. No good. Tapped up and in by Jaren Jackson Jr.
A Gasol 3.
Anderson to the baseline right side. Kicks left corner Conley. Conley brings it back out to the wing. Top of the arc. Gasol open looking at 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Big play out of the timeout. Mark Gasol gets free for a triple. He's got 10. Mike Conley's 4th assist.
Boy, great play that time. It looked like Conley might have been set up for him, but he kind of bobbled the basketball. Didn't catch it cleanly.
A game after taking 2 shots, Mark had a tremendous game. 20 points. 6 of 13. He had 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and we'll get to his clutch play later. Now, what we have next is one of the rarest of rare things. It is, ladies and gentlemen, a Kyle Anderson 3.
Gasol gets a feed from Conley, jumps it left sideline, Anderson, wide open 3, bring it up. Put 3 on the board for Kyle Anderson. Back-to-back threes for the Grizz give him an 8-point lead, 59-51.
Anderson with 12 points now in this ballgame, 5 of 6 from the floor.
He really can't shoot, but a corner 3 is still a good shot for him.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. Jackson with another 3.
Conley with Hernan Gomez on him, backs it out, calls for a screen, then waves it off. was actually waving it off, not calling for it. Conley to Jackson. Wide open left wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Jackson with no hesitation hits the triple. He's got 17. 66-64. Grizzlies regain the lead.
He was actually able to step right into that three-pointer.
Now let me make a confession.
Okay.
As all of this is proceeding along, mm-hmm. I didn't think the Grizzlies were going to win for most of the game. I assumed at some point, not in the same way that I did when I was watching Golden State, but I assumed at some point Denver would assert control, even though Jokic was absent, AWOL, totally 100% AWOL. Took us last shot was at the one shot at the very end of the game. I just kind of assumed that at some point Denver would reassert themselves. The moment that that changed was the next play, which was the Dylan Brooks block.
Yep.
He comes back.
After he got his shot blocked.
He comes back.
Yes.
He gets his shot blocked. He comes back. He blocks the shot, leads to a shot. And then I'm thinking, okay, this is on. And here's that play.
66-all. Game tied. Harrison transition. Three blocked from behind by Brooks. Loose ball picked up by Conley. Great hustle by Dylan. Conley brings it back. Conley to the right wing. Mack. He'll step into a three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Grizzlies playing fast there. Pushing the tempo and building a three-point lead with Shelvin Mack's first field goal of the night.
And as we said, it was assertive, Mark. Here's couple of Mark jams.
Grizzlies down five with the ball, 77-72. Conley to the left baseline, bounces to Gasol, going to the rim, and a right-handed jam for Marc Gasol. Conley's eighth assist, and Marc Gasol has 14. Perfect pocket bounce back. Mack with it on the left wing. Mack to his right, gives for Gasol. He rolls into the lane by Jokic. Two-handed jam. Mark recognized that Jokic was not going to contest vigorously, so he went right to the front of the iron, and the Grizzlies lead 80-79.
Yeah, you think about defense, you think about Marc Gasol right now. He's got three personal fouls, but since picking up his 30, he's got two blocked shots, so he hasn't quit playing defense.
Mack with another three.
Mack, Jackson Jr., Conley, Gasol, and Temple. Mack left alone, left wing three! Ring it up and put three on the board! Nobody guarded Shelvin Mack, and he said, thank you very much.
Obviously didn't read the scouting report. You don't leave that man open right now. He's shooting the ball so well.
Now, you know a name that we have not mentioned so far tonight, this morning?
Oh, that would be Mike Conley.
Mike Conley, we have gotten this far into these highlights, and we have not mentioned the name Mike Conley. Marc Gasol's coming and going this season is just quintessential Marc Gasol, right? It's what he does. It's how he's wired. It's the yin and the yang of what he thinks he should be doing, what the team needs him to be doing. Some of you have been frustrated by it forever. Others of us have come to terms with it and appreciate his approach to basketball, but whatever. I get that. That is Mark. The Mike that we are seeing is not typical Mike. Now, afterwards in the interview, he was asked about it and he just said, oh, they were doubling me and we had other people make plays. I don't believe that. I think there is, I don't know what's going on with Mike. He looks spry enough, but he was 2 of 9 last night, was basically, reasonably ineffective. Again, I had 4 points, but he did get a big one. He got this big floater at the end.
45 seconds to go in the game. 85-83. Conley splits a double team in the lane. Running right-handed floater is good. Mike Conley was 1 for 8. Make it 2 for 9. And Denver needs a timeout. That is why Mike Conley is the captain of this team.
And maybe that'll be that. Maybe that'll be the one that gets him going.
Yeah, I'm still at this point. I told Connor this on Eric's show on Tuesday. I'm still chalking it up to rust right now and knocking the rust off, but I have moved some stuff off my desk in order to locate the panic button.
Okay. You're not hitting it yet.
I just want to know where it is.
You know where it is.
Yes.
Okay. It came down to, in the end, They needed a bucket.
There was a really bad sequence right before that.
And yes, we're skipping over that. And, we're going to go to the final sequence where they run a pick and roll with Mark and Shelvin Mack.
Yes, as expected.
It was Mark and Shelvin Mack for what turned out to be the winning pick and roll.
17.8 seconds remaining. Garrett Temple, Shelvin Mack, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, and Dylan Brooks on the floor. Hernan Gomez, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray, Torrey Craig, and Mason Plumlee for the Nuggets. In the backcourt, Mack goes and gets it. Shelvin with it, 15, 14. Mack across the timeline with 12 and a half. Mack in between the circles, down to 9. Mack's got to make a move, down to 8. Nothing happening. Mack around a Gasol screen, bounces for Mark, going to the rim. He's fouled. Marc Gasol's going to the line with 4.6 seconds remaining. They held him on the roll to the bucket. Gasol was going to get a layup, a beautiful pass from Shelvin Mack. But with 4.6 seconds left, Murray got called for the hold. And I'm actually really shocked they called that. So Gasol to the line. Game tied at 87. 4.6 seconds remaining. Gasol's first one on the way. Perfect. Nikola Jokic checks back in. Big free throw coming right now. Boy, if the other two games between these two teams are like this, this will be fun.
Can't imagine the other two going to 90 points.
Maybe. Gasol sets, fires, perfect. Oh, just a smooth stroke from the line. Marc Gasol, 7 of 7. He's your Bass Pro Shop Trophy game tonight.
The Bass Pro Shop Trophy game on TV was Jaren Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark,
I think Eric has editorial control.
Mark
on
has,
the radio broadcast.
Yeah, as he should. Mark had the two free throws, but then they had to withstand one last effort by the Nuggets, and this is what that's.
Final seconds, 4.6 remaining. Fans are on their feet. Murray to inbound for Denver. Grizzlies lead is 2. Murray to Jokic. He'll turn, fire a right wing 3 over Gasol. No good. Tapped up, no good. As the Grizzlies get the stop and get the win. Gasol with a great closeout on Jokic as zeros hit the clock and streamers come from the Raptors. Big win for the Grizz tonight over the 9-1 Denver Nuggets as down the stretch, the Grizzlies hold off the young, energetic, and very talented Denver Nuggets and give them their second loss of the season.
That was fun. Should we hear from Jaren Jackson Jr.?
Let's do it.
Terrific game tonight, Jaren. You guys up front were really good, both offensively and defensively. Down the stretch, I thought you moved incredibly well without the ball. This was back and forth. Talk about the differences and the paces at times during this game and how you guys were able to maintain what you wanted to do throughout that 48 minutes.
Long game. Hard-fought game. So we stuck to the game plan. It's just will, man. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. That's really what it comes down to. You know, you can draw up all the plays you want, but you got to execute. You got to have the will to do it.
Well, even if you execute them, you got to make the shot, right?
Yeah.
Well, on your part, so tonight you start out with a foul right off the bat. You pick up your second foul, but then all of a sudden you start playing your most physical basketball of the game in that 8 first and second quarters with no whistles and no worries. How did that feel?
Hey, you know, I'm just feeling it out like everybody. Obviously, we knew after the first foul, I was like, okay, you know, let's settle down. Let's not get one in the first minute of the game. You know, let's not get 2 in the first minute because then that'll just be crazy. So, you know, I just try to pick my battles. And, you know, as the game goes along and you get more time, you know, you can pick your battles easier because I knew I had 2 fouls at one point. I couldn't do it early, but later I could be more physical. So that was good.
10 games into the season, real quick before you got to head back to the locker room, the resiliency of this team has always been a staple. Obviously, it was tested last year with the injuries, but you guys showed it again tonight because Denver at one point kind of regained the control and you guys took it right back.
It must be something about being at home, man.
But is it something that surprises you to see this team bounce back the way you guys do?
Of course not. Come on, man.
I'm asking you. It's your first time through it.
Nah, because at the end of the day, it's about practice. It's about practice, about what we put in practice. And what we discuss as a team is, you know, it's a long season, and you got to have short-term memory if you're going to be successful here. So, you know, that's what we're about. And we you know, it was a long road trip. We wanted to come home, man.
I know, that's, man. That's we all did. And I'm not surprised by your answer. Terrific job tonight. Thanks,
yes,
brother.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate
it must be something about home, man.
It is something about home, like home cooking.
Yeah.
Head to the back before JB yells at me.
Oh, yeah.
All
sure.
right. Thanks, man.
He is so unbelievably charming.
Yes, he's infectious.
He is infectious. It must be something about home. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll listen to JB later in the show. When we come back, though, we will talk to Steve White about the NFL. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, Tennessee. GEICO presents Need to Know Information, because you have to draw the line between what you need to know and what you don't.
After a scary movie, I have to watch cartoons so I don't have nightmares.
See, didn't need to know that. But when it comes to insurance, the more you know, the better. Like knowing GEICO is the second largest auto insurer in the country. Plus, they've been around for over 75 years and have a 97% customer satisfaction rating.
I have to use a calculator on my first grader's math homework.
Again, not really needed. But knowing GEICO offers more than just car insurance is important, like motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. And the GEICO Insurance Agency can help you insure your home, apartment, and condo.
I practice taking my glasses off in the mirror because I think it makes me look cool.
And not needed. But you should know GEICO has local agents in your area that could help you find even more ways to save. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Tennessee, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need.
Hey, this is Joe Cordell. I'm here to talk to you about an unpleasant but an important subject, and that's the subject of divorce. If you're in a good marriage, or even a marriage that's not so good, but that can be saved, then you can tune out for the next 60 seconds. Now I want to speak to the guys that are still listening. Odds are you're like a lot of guys. You've worked hard to get ahead. You have a nice home, some savings, a solid retirement plan, and children that you love more than life itself. Yet despite your thoughtful game plan, you're now facing a divorce that you can't avoid. That's where we come in. Cordell & Cordell makes it its business to focus on representing men in your situation.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Cordell & Cordell, 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
This is New York firefighter Raphael Porriet for Firehouse Subs. You know, at Firehouse Subs, they make their subs just the way you like them. Hot, hearty, and extraordinary. And now, there's a new reason to visit Firehouse Subs. The new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub. It's a hearty serving of savory hot steak with crispy fried onions and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. You heard me, beer cheese sauce. But the mouth-watering new Pub Steak Sub is on tap for a limited time only. Order at firehousesubs.com or on the app, and they'll have your hot sub ready to pick up at the Rapid Rescue to Go station inside Firehouse Subs. And remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, participating locations. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Looking for a fun place for lunch on Fridays? Join us for our 25-cent martini lunch. You can start with a bowl of chicken and sausage gumbo, braised short rib grilled cheese, or crispy Gulf seafood po' boys. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
Join Christian Brothers University for one of their upcoming graduate programs info sessions. Christian Brothers University has you covered to accelerate your career or get ahead. Thursday, November 8th at Rosa Deal School of Arts, room 111. Reception at 5:30 p.m., info session at 6 p.m. Go to cbu.edu/graduate and register today. Christian Brothers University can help you accelerate your career or get ahead. Go to cbu.edu/graduate now for the upcoming graduate info session Thursday, November 8th at Rosa Deal School of Arts, room 111, Christian Brothers University. Friday and Saturday only at the Kroger Digital Sale. Select varieties of Post cereal are only 99 cents. Just download your digital coupon from Kroger.com.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Gawkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
To the bright side of the road.
All right, back on the Jeff Dawkins Show, joined now by Steve White. Proud graduate of Westwood High School right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Went on to play for the Tennessee Vols, the New York Jets, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can read his stuff at SB Nation and follow him, SGW94, on Twitter. He joins me now. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm okay, but your state puzzles me a little bit, but we won't get into that.
Listen, we're in the same boat on that one.
Yeah, we are. We're in the same boat on that one. So we won't get into that. We'll move right on to Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant to the Saints, what do you think?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's not like they necessarily need it anymore, firepower. That's for sure. They look like one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL right now. So to add Dez Bryant, you look at it like, well, it couldn't hurt, you know. But you got to see what kind of shape he's in, you know, what kind of chemistry he has with Drew Brees. You know, is he going to throw off the offense a little bit, trying to get him the football? So I think it's wise to just take a wait-and-see approach because, hey, they've been doing great without him. So if it doesn't work out, they can easily just release him and keep it moving.
You were of the view, weren't you, that he had something left? Is that right, or did you?
I do.
Yeah.
It's just he didn't fit with Dak because the kind of plays that Dez can still make, those are the kind of throws that Dak isn't very good at. Those, you know, back shoulder fade throws and stuff like that. So, but I think he's still, you know, for the things you want him to do, run those slant routes, run those back shoulder fade routes, especially down in the red zone, I think Dez can still do some good things for a team.
And tell me this. People always talk about disrupting locker rooms. Now, that seems like, you know, then you hear about, well, that's a strong locker room. So you've got Gordon and the Patriots. They take on people who've been released. Do players have the capacity to disrupt locker rooms and to disrupt winning locker rooms? The only argument I've heard about it is, why would you mess with chemistry, that kind of thing? How does that play out?
I mean, it could potentially happen, but it's usually an extreme case. And it would usually have to be a guy who was like one of the top paid players on the team. Otherwise, nobody really cares. But if it's a guy that he's got a long-term deal, he's going to be there a while, so the coaches are kind of stuck with him and so are you, and he just decides he wants to be a jerk, then, yeah, that could disrupt team chemistry. But those are usually far in between. At the end of the day, man, you're not going to get along with everybody that you work with. I say that all the time, but it's true. The people listening to this show right now don't get along with all their coworkers either. So there's always going to be some friction in the locker room just because the workplace is a little different from everywhere else, but it's still a workplace. But at the end of the day, especially if you're winning, guys find a way to get along. So, you know, you never really see that fractured locker room narrative when it's a team that's won a lot of football games.
Right. I don't know if you saw it, because you're probably not a big follower of the NHL down there, but did you see the Uber? This just has to do with the
you must have forgot about the Tampa Bay Lightning down here now.
I know. They're good.
Don't play.
They're
don't
good.
Play.
Are you a Lightning fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. Lightning are awesome. I don't know if you saw did you see the Ottawa Senators? So they're taking an Uber. They're in an Uber, and the Uber driver is ticked off that they didn't give him a good tip. And he releases a video. I guess he videos everyone of six Senators or something who are in this van, and they're ripping their coaches. They're ripping their coaches, and they're saying, you know, we've been doing the penalty kill. You should see this video. It's sort of everywhere in Canadian media. And they're basically saying, you know, but honestly, it's just what you're talking about. It literally, you could tape me at any moment talking about any of the bosses I've ever had, even the ones I like, I'll be honest. And there are moments you gripe, you just do. In Ottawa, it's all big news, but who the heck hasn't griped about their boss? Was there ever a coach you didn't gripe about?
No, I don't really think so. That's just not the way it is. You're always going to second guess sometimes. You're never going to agree with every single thing they do because it's just, you know, part of being a human being. Yeah. And this is a situation, I haven't seen that video, but it sounds like these were guys discussing this amongst themselves. I'm sure the coaches don't like seeing them talk about them that way, But it's not like they went to the media and said, hey, we want to air out our coach. They had no idea this guy was filming them. And so I would hope that their coaches understand that, hey, these are guys thinking they were having a private moment talking amongst themselves. They had no idea this was ever going to get out. And again, it's probably something that's very normal all across the league and all across any sports.
It's normal, but you can't unhear it. And if you're this coach, they pointed out that this one coach was he ran the power play last year, and it was the worst power play in the league. They switched him to the penalty kill, and it's the worst penalty kill in the league. And they're the guys are laughing about it. And then they're back coming back from a restaurant or something. It's it's hideous. Uber has apologized. There's no way in the world they should have released this. Anyway, I'm off topic. Okay, Dez, you like the move to Dez. While we're on the subject of Dez and the Cowboys, Jerry Jones comes out and he says he's going to re-up and extend Dak. And you got to figure Jason Garrett's got to go at this point. Where are you on whether you believe Dak is the quarterback or should be the quarterback of the future? How much blame do you place on him? How much blame do you place on Jason Garrett? Obviously, all the blame ultimately goes to Jerry Jones. But where are you on the Dallas mess?
Well, the thing about Dak is you can obviously see that the kid is talented, right? The problem he has right now is consistency. But you see him make some throws that are top-notch throws. You see him make some runs that are top-notch runs. And so what you need is a guy who can get him to be consistent and do that from play in and play out. So he appears to be a guy who maybe could be a franchise quarterback, but maybe not with this head coach and not with this offense coordinator. So if it's me, I'm not ready to extend him yet. I'm going to get a new coach in here, and, hey, let's see if, you know, this new coach can pull off what the coach for the L.A. Rams did. You know, everybody thought Jared Goff was the biggest bust in NFL history after his first season. And then, you know, he gets a new head coach and who also is an offensive-minded guy, and he looks like a totally different guy now. And so, you know, even Patrick Mahomes, for instance, he was a guy that had – he looks great now. Everybody talks about how wonderful he is now and how he should have been the first pick. But the truth of the matter is he had serious technique issues when he came out. He was a guy that was very inconsistent. Guess what, Andy Reid, now he's got that consistency and he could make those top-notch plays. So if it was me, I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach, bring a new – offensive-minded head coach in here. You already got the defense coach you need because right now their defense is playing fine, in my opinion. You know, give Dak a new set of eyes and a new set of ears to kind of try to guide him to a little bit more consistency. And if he plays up to that standard and you start winning games, then, yeah, go ahead and extend the guy. Like I said, he's young, he's athletic, he's got a lot going for him. But you have to see it. Like, I don't understand why Jerry Jones would even be bringing up extending him right now. He just hasn't shown enough that he's a franchise quarterback yet.
The Raiders, it feels to me like you're right about a lot all the time. It feels like this year you've been more right even than usual. And John Gruden, now the Raiders have released Bruce Irvin, who has signed with the Falcons. It just feels like they're getting rid of everybody. And what do you make of what happened there?
Well, it feels that way because that's what's happening. They're tearing their team down to build it back up. And, you know, they can say whatever they want to. We all have eyes and ears. We can see what's happening right in front of us. So that's exactly what's happening. They're getting rid of their big money guys. They got rid of Khalil Mack because they didn't want to pay him. And then I guess John Gruden is planning on rebuilding the team in his image. The only thing about that is, he hasn't ever shown in his career that he's very good at building a team from scratch. He came here with a team that was ready made for him and won a Super Bowl. And they were very inconsistent after that. But at the end of his tenure here, I mean, he might win 9 games one season and 3 games the next. You just didn't know. And then when he was in Oakland even, he had a bunch of older guys. He just brought in a bunch of older guys, found a way to turn around Rich Gannon. And they had a nice little run, but they still didn't really win anything. You know, they got to the Super Bowl the year after he was gone, and then it got blown out. So there was never any history that suggested that John Gruden would be good at building a team from scratch. But when they signed him, at the very least, you could say, well, they had a team that was built to win. That was the whole reason why they fired Jack Del Rio, because they thought they should be winning more with the players that they had. who knew that he was going to come in and tear down a team that evidently, you know, previously the ownership thought should actually be in the playoffs and vying for a Super Bowl. And now he comes in and just says, well, I don't like any of these guys. Let's get rid of them and let's build a team from scratch. If I was Reggie McKenzie, the GM, I would just be throwing darts at his pitcher all day long, every day. Because he built it. Reggie went in there in a situation where they were in salary cap hell, got them out of there, got them quality players, got them cornerstones for the future, and then they're all gone. The only one left is Derek Carr, and he's horrible. So he'll be gone very shortly, too. I don't know why they're doing it. You know, they're going to be leaving for Las Vegas in a couple of years, and I just don't see anybody, you know, leaving one of those nice shows in Vegas to go to see a team that sucks as bad as the Raiders suck right now.
I want to move on to next week in just a minute, but there was a classic last week between the Rams and the Saints. Drew Brees looked fabulous. If you had one quarterback to win a game for you right now, who would it be?
I mean, it's got to be Tom Brady. It's got to be. And right now, I kind of feel like the Patriots are kind of floating under the radar somehow. They lost two out of their first three games, haven't lost since. The offense has been looking fantastic. Tom Brady looks like Tom Brady, and now he's got a new weapon in Josh Gordon. And they've even had some injuries at running back. But Tom Brady is just, he's so consistently excellent. You just hardly ever see him have a bad game. And so if I got one game, I know a lot of people will pick Aaron Rodgers, and I've talked about why he's, you know, probably going to be the greatest quarterback to ever play because he does everything so well. But if I got one game to win, give me Tom Brady.
Okay. And then lastly, in terms of general issues, Le'Veon Bell has been sort of cryptic about what he's going to do. There's some thought that he might come back and sign the tender and just come in. He obviously wouldn't play much if he did. He'd collect some cash. What do you think will happen there? What should happen there? And in the end, did he make a wrong move by sitting out or not?
Well, I think we won't be able to judge that last question for several years and whether he actually ends up with his big contract and ends up making a whole bunch of money after this or not.
Right.
But the thing of it is, I don't know anybody who actually understands what he's doing right now. Even people who are in general supportive of him, I generally support the fact that he has a right to not show up to work when they're not offering him a contract commensurate with, you know, his previous work and what they think he'll be able to do in the future. However, I have no idea why he's still sitting at home right now. Like you said, if he were to come back right now, James Conner is the second in the league in rushing right now. It's not like he would have to carry the load, right? He might not even play that much if he came back right now because who knows, the Steelers might be trying to, you know, send him a message. But you're missing out on millions of dollars that you'd be getting doing the game that you've done since you were a kid. So, like I said, when you look around, people will have announcements about, you know, the money side of it, but I've seen very few people that can actually understand what he's doing right now and why.
How weird would it be if he came back in the locker room now?
I mean, obviously it would be weird because where does he fit now? You know what I mean?
He doesn't.
I mean, is he going to mess up the whole rhythm of the offense? Is he going to be okay with coming off the bench? If he's not okay coming off the bench, is James Conner, who's been playing lights out, going to be okay with that? Would the team be okay with that? How would people, you know, kind of approach him after all of this foolishness? You just never know. And so, you know, in a lot of ways, to me, if he wanted to force something, that's the way to do it. Show up and kind of, you know, make that disruption on purpose. Like I talked about, he'd be one of the top paid guys on the team under their franchise. Then to go there, make some noise, and make them get rid of you. But he hasn't done that. He's just kind of sitting at home, and everybody's kind of twiddling their thumbs like, what happens next?
All right, on to some of the games this week. Tonight we got an interesting one, Carolina, Pittsburgh. How serious are you taking Carolina these days?
Very. That defense is so underrated. People aren't really paying attention to them, but, man, they're playing top-notch football. And how about this? They have a top-10 scoring offense as well. So, you know, I think a lot of times people just kind of take for granted that, okay, they got Cam Newton, they're just going to grind you out. You know, they'll win, you know, 10-9 or something like that. But they actually have a top-10 scoring offense as well this year. So Cam Newton's been playing lights out lately. I just feel like they're a very dangerous team. Now, on the flip side of that, yeah, Pittsburgh that's also playing well. So I think this is going to be an excellent game tonight.
I don't expect the Chargers in Oakland to be an excellent game, but that's another team that I'm interested to see how serious they're taking the Chargers.
Well, I'm taking them seriously simply because they have so many really good pieces. In particular, Melvin Gordon is a guy that's kind of in, you know, the shadow of the Todd Gurley of the world and stuff like that. But Melvin Gordon has been playing outstanding football this year, the starting running back for the Chargers. So he kind of helps make that offense go now. And Phillip Rivers doesn't have to make so many plays, even though he still does. So I think if there's a question mark to a certain extent, is their defense. Joey Bosa still hasn't played this year, coming off an injury. But you got to think, I mean, they're 6-2 right now. If they actually get Bosa back at any point this season, man, that could make a huge difference down the stretch. So I take them very seriously. I think that, you know, they have a they're definitely probably going to make the playoffs, and they have a shot to make some noise when they get there.
And then finally, we got the Titans and the Pats. You obviously expect the Pats to win the way you talked about the Pats earlier, but we have this interesting subplot of Malcolm Butler, who's been terrible, and making Bill Belichick look like a genius again. Not that he needs any more help. Thoughts on where the Titans are and on it, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Did you ever play the Jets again after you left for Tampa? Is there something extra?
No, I was in Tampa first, and then I went to New York, and I played there for a year, so we never actually played. But, you know, the thing about it is, first, Malcolm Butler hasn't been terrible. Okay, he's given up a lot of catches. That happens sometimes when you play his own defense, but he's definitely not been terrible. I noticed the narrative this week because, you know, I think it was Pro Football Focus came out and said he's given up all these catches. But that defense is also a top-10 defense in scoring. So he couldn't have been playing that bad so far, trust me. Ask the Rams, who have Marcus Peterson. That's a guy that's playing terrible right now, even though they have a pretty good defense otherwise.
Right.
So that's number one. I do believe that their defense is going to challenge the heck out of New England's offense. I just, you know, it's one of those things where it's just hard to bet against the Patriots right now. They're just playing so well. But I will say that Marcus Mariota, since he's kind of healed up from that injury he had earlier this year where he wasn't able to grip the football, the last couple of weeks, man, that guy has kind of come on and been the Marcus Mariota everybody was expecting him to be at the beginning of the season. So they are a little bit of a scary team, the Titans are, because now when Marcus Mariota is playing well, and now they got him some weapons around him, he doesn't have his tight end, but Davis is playing a lot better at wide receiver now. When Marcus Mariota is on, they can beat pretty much any team because their defense is so good. It's just he's been up and down while he was kind of getting over that injury early in the season. So I'm saying that while I'm picking the Patriots, I wouldn't at all be surprised if the Titans shocked them, especially with the way Mariota's been playing lately.
Steve, thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.
That is Steve White. We're going to take a break. Back, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup. That means whether you're downloading big files, swiping credit cards, or emailing your sales team or customers, your business can go on even if the power goes out. When you're a business owner, you need speed and reliability. For a limited time, make the switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond AT&T. Get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month when you add two voice mobility lines. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offers 11/21/18. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection Pro backup limited to up to 6 hours.
You want to have a delicious, exquisitely prepared Thanksgiving dinner that you and your family will remember well after the day is done? Go to Bounty on Broad. That's right. Chef Russell Casey would like everyone to know that Bounty on Broad will be open Thanksgiving Day. So forget shopping and then working over the stove all day and then doing all those stacked up dishes. Spend all that time with your family instead. Bounty County will be serving a special Thanksgiving menu in their beautiful restaurant with their legendary farm-to-table touch. In addition to that, Bounty is partnering with the Family Safety Center, an organization that's dedicated to removing individuals from domestic violence situations. Bounty on Broad will be providing survivors a special family meal Thanksgiving morning, and then will be collecting donations for the nonprofit the remainder of the day. That's the kind of generous, public-spirited place that the restaurant is. Bounty is located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Call them today to make a reservation at 901-410-8131. This Thanksgiving, do something unforgettable for your family and for other families, too.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-375-2621. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-375-2621 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-375-2621 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-375-2621.
Are you ready for fall leaves, hoodies, pumpkins, and cool weather? Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Call Choate's today to schedule your $60 furnace tune-up to make sure your heater is ready for the cold months ahead. Our $60 furnace tune-up includes a 15-point safety inspection with a free camera inspection of your heat exchanger to make sure it is not leaking any dangerous carbon monoxide. Right now is also a great time to get your air ducts cleaned and to make sure your indoor air quality is top-notch. Don't forget, Choate's is also there for all your plumbing needs. From our $99 drain cleanings, our tankless water heater financing specials, or visit one of our two kitchen and bath showrooms for any of your remodel ideas. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Folks, Bob Burkin for Sunrise Buick GMC. Wait until the time's right to buy that new or used car or truck. Well, get rolling to Sunrise because your waiting's over. 800 new cars and trucks to choose from. Discounts up to $10,000. Factor rebates high as $5,000. Immediate financing low as 0%. A $5 million used car inventory specializing in cars and trucks under $10,000. Credit not so hot? It's okay. Sunrise has a financing plan for everyone. If you like saving money, it doesn't get any better than this partner. Check us out at sunrisememphis.com. Covington Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville. We make it fun to buy a car again.
It's a whole new ball game at Samstown Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica with the new sports book. Get in on the sports betting action with the wall of big screen TVs and roomiest seats available in the comfort of Samstown's exclusive sports book lounge. You can cheer on all your favorite teams. Put your sports knowledge to good use and win big. Must be 21 or older. Other restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 888-777-9696.
Samstown Casino.
Many health conditions such as high blood pressure are connected to gum disease in your mouth. Good thing their signs can be detected in a routine dental exam covered by a Delta Dental of Tennessee plan. Learn more at coveryourmouth.com.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, 92.9 ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We're going to get to Chris Harrington in the next segment. Grizzlies won a big one last night. We'll talk to Chris about that. Earlier, we played you Jaren Jackson Jr. Talking about the game. Here's J.B. Bickerstaff talking about the big win over the Denver Nuggets.
We knew the ball was going to touch Jokic's hands, and he was going to be the guy that makes the play for him. Obviously, with those two scores, playing around him. 4 seconds on the clock. It was time for him, to keep it and turn the corner. So we had to make sure that we kept him in front of us. And then the inbounder, we needed to make sure we kept the body on him and didn't allow him to go back door. You know, we did a good job, ended up, you know, taking a tough contested three. We were able to get the game. You know, again, it's close on the offensive glass that last possession. They had a look at it, but, you know, our guys found a way tonight.
JB, on your last offensive possession where Gasol got fouled, got to the line, you had Mac on the ball to start that. Was that about looking for the better defensive matchup in that pick and roll?
No, we've had success with those three guys in actions. And what it does is it puts a lot of pressure on the other guy who's guarding Mike now. You've got Mark, you know, who's so skilled in the pocket as a roller. The guy who's guarding Mike has to be the help guy. But, you know, you're a little intimidated to leave Mike to help in the paint when Mike is popping out for a wide open three. And then Sheldon has a ball handler so heady he can make the right play. So just trying to put the defense in as most difficult position as we possibly could with those three guys making the play.
You guys are able to take down a 9-win team, stay undefeated at home. How big, can you kind of quantify how big this win was for you guys, snapping the losing streak as well?
I mean, it's, you know, the way we won it and how these guys competed to get the job done, coming back off that road trip like that, you know, you got to give our guys a ton of credit. But it's the makeup of our guys, you know what I mean? Like, every morning they wake up, this is who they are. They're competitive, they're unselfish. They want to do something for more than themselves. I mean, they're scrappy. You know what I mean? Like, you could come up with all the adjectives you want. For us, what this is about is, you know, building the consistency, building the chemistry so that we can do this every single night. You know, offense might not be as pretty, but defensively we find a way to hold them, you know, at 39% from the field, 25% from three. You know, so that's the way we have to be. And, you know, talking about it before the game, it's, you know, it's a unique style as compared to what's going on to the rest of the league right now. But what kind of difficulties can that oppose to teams that are coming in here? You know, they're so used to playing one way. You know, you come in here and you kind of hit a roadblock that you're not used to. So our guys have embraced it. And again, you know, it's putting it together for longer stretches.
Gasol came out more aggressive in the second half. Was that the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we need Mark to be aggressive offensively. And, you know, the way that they were playing, that pocket was wide open for him. And, you know, he has the ability to make you pay either with finding the open man or attacking the basket. We saw him get a couple of rolled dunks there because of the way they were playing him. And, I mean, you know, our guys know it. He knows it. You know, we go as far as he and Mike take us. And big fella had it rolling tonight, and he carried us.
JB, that game was really physical, a lot of bodies flying around. Is that, do you like that style? Do you like playing? Does that fall into the style that you guys want to play?
Yeah. You know, when you're allowed to play that way, that's the way the game should be played. You know, there is contact in basketball. You know, there should be some bodies bumping. You know? But again, with us, it's, you know, developing that type of reputation where, you know, that's the style that we play. And, you know, when teams come in here, they know, you know, there's going to be some grinding and there's going to be some physicality. We like it.
JB, Jokic doesn't take a shot until the very last one. Was there something that you guys did scheme-wise to keep him passive? Were you surprised to see him so passive out there?
I mean, I give, you know, our big guys credit. You know, started with Mark. You know, Jaren got a taste of him. I think they did a heck of a job defending him. They put him in difficult situations, you know, where he never had, you know, really clear, open catch-and-shoot opportunities. You know, the plays that he was making from the elbow and those things like that, our guys were all over him. They were smothering him. So, you know, I give our guys a ton of credit for the way they defended him and taking on that challenge.
JB, how many actions are you running for Jaren, or is it just him getting his off of just being in the right place and making plays the way that instinctively?
I mean, the way that he plays, you don't have to run a ton of actions for him because he knows how to get to his spots. I think that's one of the things that people, you know, didn't realize when he was coming out of school is just how good of a big man he really is. You know, people always talked about his shooting, his ability to space the floor. But he's a skilled big guy who knows how to play like a big guy. He rim runs early, gets early seals in the paint. those are the best catches for a big guy. You know, before the defense gets set, you got 2 feet in the paint. Now you can go to work in a one-on-one situation, you know, 3 to 5 feet from the basket. You know, he knows how to relocate and move without the ball. So, you know, it's a blessing for us that we don't have to call a bunch of plays for Jaren to get his touches because he knows how to move and get to the right spot.
Yeah, they're late in the first quarter. You guys had Mark and Jaren both off the court, and you were able to hold them at bay. What was that stretch like with Kyle at the five?
it was interesting. You know, we'd never done that one before. But, you know, foul trouble happened. But, you know, guys with experience and guys with intelligence can carry you through times like that. And I think, you know, our guys, you know, been there, they've experienced these types of things, and you just kind of understand, you know, the spots on the floor where we want guys offensively. You know, we have some small ball sets that we've had to put in because of injuries. So we know.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.